What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Levant, and I would like to say Merry Christmas, everybody out there. We are Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where we are festively giving our Mega Church a tiny family feel. We're going to introduce you to seasonal members of our church staff and community. It is a true Christmas treat, and it is a true Christmas treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray. Hi, everybody.
Merry Christmas, Hallie, is
Merry
what I like to
Christmas.
Say. Oh, it's so nice to see you. And I'm just so filled with love and joy on this amazing, my favorite time of year. It really is.
It really is. I feel so joyful and festive and merry, and I'm jingling all the way.
That is right.
We are right in the middle of our awesome Christmas program here at Twin Hills. We cannot be stopped by the pandemic. There were some COVID officers making sure we were following all the protocol. We're not allowed to fill all the seats. We have to keep a little distance, all that stuff. So unfortunately, instead of we ticket the event. Instead of ticketing over, 25,000 tickets, we were only able to do 22,000 tickets this year. It's just discrimination against Christ followers. But anyway, they couldn't stop our enthusiasm and our joy. We decided that after a hard year, what we needed to do for our Christmas programming is to give everybody a bunch of laughs. So we did a comedy this year. We recruited our drama department to cast it and write it.
It's
and we
so
had
an... amazing. Hallie,
awesome.
I mean, my hat is off to you guys in programming because it is so funny. Everybody knows you've heard of the British The Office, mm-hmm. and you've heard of the American The Office.
They're
well,
awesome.
We are doing God's The Office. And I mean, I just think it's so amazing and awesome that we are taking something so current and relevant and telling the Christmas story with it.
Well, the show did end in 2013, but it's in syndication.
Oh, really?
And it's become real big again during the pandemic.
Oh, cool.
So, we just said, okay, we're going to do something really current and relevant. We're doing God's The Office, and it's going to be hilarious. So our whole drama department, they cast all the characters to do God's The Office, and it follows the angels in the middle management of heaven.
It is. What a good idea. I mean, I've never actually seen the Office because I don't really get comedy, but it's such a good idea.
It's so funny. And so in our God's The Office, you've got Gabriel,
right,
who's in charge
He's
in the office.
Boss, yeah.
And then you've got the angels that are Jim and Pam and Dwight, the annoying angel.
Oh, and I mean, yeah, people were saying, are those the names of the actual characters in The Office?
Yeah, but you know what? Our actors are so much funnier. It's just so much funnier when you make it Christ-centered. The jokes are just outstanding. And the camera guys on our crew are shooting it doc style. So when you watch it in the auditorium up on the IMAG screens, it really looks like the show.
It really does. You know, they're doing all those cool like snap zooms and people looking at the cameras and stuff. And it sort of begs the question of like, you know, why you even have to come to church to see it?
I know, because everyone in the auditorium, let's be honest, everybody's looking at the IMAG screens. But the reason you got to come to church is because comedy just doesn't work on a computer. You got to be in the room.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you really got to be in the room for comedy.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
Anyway, it starts out, I don't want to give too much away in case you haven't seen it yet, because we have a few more services left, but news comes in that God is tired of all the like blood sacrifices that are happening
right.
all over
I
the
know.
Place. There's too much blood here and there and everywhere.
And then all the angels are like running around and going, okay, I'm in charge of this blood sacrifice. I'm in charge of this blood sacrifice. Are there redundancies? Are going to lose my job? You know, everybody's
right.
afraid they're going to get laid off.
Right. In the atonement department. And then God says, nope. He's going to make a son.
It is so funny. You should see their face. I mean, Dwight goes, does that mean we've got a new boss? It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, but then a fax comes in and it's like, nope, he's going to make a son and he's going to kill him.
I know. And then they're all running around going, I'm not really into murdering kids,
right.
you know?
Right.
And then I just love the part that there's a speakerphone rings on stage and it's God and everybody goes quiet and God goes, I'm not going to kill a kid. I'll at least wait until he's a teenager. And I mean, Hallie, that one really busted me up because I know exactly what he means.
It's so funny. And we won't say any more about
right.
it because
no
you
got
to come
no
see
spoilers.
It if you haven't yeah. seen it yet. But were you there this morning, Gray, at the 11 a.m. service?
Hallie, oh, I heard about this, and I was so bummed because I had Climax this morning. We were doing a purity ring toss, and so I wasn't able to make it over.
Oh, well, speaking of Climax, it was the climax of the Christmas programming because it was the one service, since it was the Sunday before Christmas,
right.
that we got the actor from Hollywood who plays the main character in
right.
The Office, in The American Office. His name's John Krasinski.
Krasinski, yeah.
And he is here in town visiting relatives for the holidays. And we got him to come on and do a walk-on one time. We only had to pay him $25,000. And his black car pulls up out back. We bring him in through the green room. We mic him up. He walks on stage right at the beginning, right to where the guy who we cast as his character, Jim,
right.
in The Office, he walks toward that actor. Somebody's already in his desk, in his
right.
chair. And John Krasinski.
Krasinski, yeah, yeah.
He does a take to the audience and he goes, that's awkward. Word.
I mean, he's just, did he improvise that?
Yeah, it was incredible.
That is
I mean, we fed him the line, but it was improvised.
Okay,
yeah.
gosh.
It was yes. so good. And that's the only one we have the Krasinski for.
Amazing Krasinski. Yeah, Hallie, did you get a chance to meet him?
Well, I kind of chased him out through the green room. He had
cool.
a black car out back, and I tried to get a selfie, but as he was walking out the door, he just said, no pictures, you know.
Okay, yeah.
But I said, Merry Christmas!
well, you know, Hollywood elites.
Yeah.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
All trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Like Jesus had 12 men he asked to follow him, our guest today has a group of men who follow him. He's the leader of Son of Man Alive men's group. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Randy Hard.
Hey guys, it's great to see you.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, Randy. So, I mean, it is really awesome to see you. And I've seen you and your guys going out of here, leaving out of here in one of our vans on the weekends. And I just would love to know what in the heck is going on with this awesome, vibrant group of men on the weekends. So tell us a little bit about Son of Man Alive.
I didn't really grow up with a dad, so I've always needed a little bit of that. So,
right.
You see us take the van, and by the way, you're invited. We can't wait to have you on the next trip.
Oh, heck Ray. Yes, I'm there.
And I just started the group just to kind of have some fellowship with the men and to really explore what it means to be a Christian man outside of the entire group, the church experience and the beautiful women in our lives. So I started the group and I kind of put together a little bit of a retreat and some things that we work on. And it's been an amazing experience for all of us.
That is so great. I mean, what is that? So what exactly, because, I always hear about these men's groups. Like, what are the kind of things that you guys are doing out there? Or is it a secret? Are you allowed to tell us?
No, it's not a secret. Well, there's lots of different activities and things. But one of the things, the whole theme I like to call finding the Goliath in our David.
Wow.
Now, we think about this, and David's usually the hero. He's the underdog. He's got his sling, and he kills Goliath. But have we ever really experienced the Goliath in ourselves? Who is this character? He's a big brute. Everyone thinks he's evil. But what if he was really sensitive? What if just because of his size, he had to kill and battle everybody, and he didn't really want to do it? So we explore the sensitive, feeling side of the Christian man.
Wow, I am impressed. I usually don't think of fellas as being emotional or even really necessarily having emotions other than like hunger or anger.
Well, that's right. I mean, and that's where I'd like to make the difference, because Christian men are taught to be the leaders of their community, their family. And there's another side of them that I try to coax out. And the irony is that when we get to the softer side of ourselves, we can actually bring a lot more strength to our communities and to our families and to the church.
Amazing. Yeah. This is
blowing my mind.
It really is, Hallie. It's really inspiring. And I just love that imagery of Goliath as being kind of a guy that was like, hey, you know, I'm big and I'm strong and I'm killing all these guys. But really on the inside, I do have feelings that are more than just, you know, hunger or fear or, you know, anger.
I've honestly never, ever thought of Goliath as having a point of view or a whole complicated mental life or anything. I just thought of him as this dumb brute who needed to take a pebble to the head and get the heck out of here.
That's right. And I often think of him in that story. You know what? Maybe he was so tired of being that character that everyone made him into that he took the stone because he was done. And
great.
So I want our guys to be done with this idea of who they think they are. And let's get to the juicy, bruised pear of who they are.
Okay. So, yeah, your idea there is that Goliath just didn't even do, he just stood there and he just took it.
He was suicidal?
That's my interpretation. Well, he might have been. I see him as I'm a big guy, so I see myself as a sensitive. But most people look at me and they think, wow, this man is just, he's gruff. He's earnest, but there's a juicy side to me that I want to bring out in my fellas.
Well, what are you? You said you're a big guy. You look like you're upwards of 6'5", 300 pounds. What is it? Is it okay to ask?
Yeah. I am almost exactly what you just said.
Oh, wow, I nailed it. I should be that carnival person guessing the jelly beans.
Yeah, I'm a big fella. And so, you know, people expect you to be a certain way. And I'm a gentle Goliath, I guess. And so we have all these techniques that we run our guys through that just opens them up and find the softer side of the Christian man.
So that's great. So sort of take us through a bit of this schedule, because, you know, I just would love to know, you know, what would I be getting into when I come to a Son of Man Alive weekend?
Holidays are coming. And okay. One of the things I've implemented in our weekend groups is we swaddle the guys.
Okay, what is that?
We'll pick a guy and we'll swaddle him. We'll wrap him up in linen tight.
Oh, wow.
And then we've built a big manger and we drop the guys in and I just want the guys to feel what it feels like to be surrounded in the love of the nativity. So we've got people can dress up in the wise men costumes and some people like to play the animals, but I just want the fellas to know what it feels like to be find that baby Jesus in them and know that they're cared for.
That is wild. So where do you guys head out to? Is it kind of like in the woods or something?
We take our tents out and there's a, you know, wooded area out there in the woods that we like to go to. We go to an old Boy Scout camp that's still up and you know, it's just build a fire. We have a pancake eating contest in the morning and that's a lot of fun. And then, you know, we've got all our exercises all day long. I've just implemented a new one called Judas gazing. And this is where a man will sit across from another man and we like to describe what do we see on the outside, and then we describe what do we see on the inside, and then we do our 13 betrayals.
Oh wow.
What are 13 betrayals?
Well, we like to list off one after another ways that we've betrayed ourselves, ways that we've betrayed our community, ways that we've betrayed our spouse.
Oh wow.
And we just open it up.
What's an example of how a person can betray themselves? I don't even follow.
Well, it can be little things. You know, for me, I'm on a strict kind of morning routine where I like to just drink a lot of celery juice and just kind of get the body movement. But sometimes I'm going to take I'm going to eat some of that granola I shouldn't be eating. And right there is a little betrayal. And I want to be as clean as I can for God.
That is awesome. I mean, is everything held in confidence? Are these kind of betrayals that, you know, that seems like, you know, that is a betrayal for sure. But is everything held sort of in privacy and confidence? Or
yes.
These kind of, okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to build trust with the fellas. And, you know, some people like to call it a safe space. I want to call it a savior space. So let's just have the guys come in, know that they're going to be really exposing the softer side of themselves here and take that warmth and that love and that strength back to their families.
Now, do you have to take boxes of Kleenex and whatnot? Because, I mean, I hate to ask, and tell me if this is too personal, but, I mean, are there ever any tears shed?
Yeah. Well, that's the great thing is that this is a place for us to cry as men. And, you know, one of the things that we do that really brings the tears, and this is one of our final things during the end of our time together, is I have the guys sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Okay, great.
You know this old song. And we have the guys sing it for 3 hours straight.
Oh, wow.
3 hours straight.
Like monks chanting.
Exactly. And it's an ecstatic spirit, Holy Spirit phenomenon and experience. We got the fire. Some of the guys, they just take off their shirts and they're just steam coming off of them and they want to dance. And I tell the guys, whoever drops first and starts crying, you're the loser. And we just like to see who starts crying first. And then I switch it because the person who cries first is actually the winner.
Wow.
Wow, that is amazing. What a powerful experience.
Greg, we got to have you come. I can't wait to do the Susan Judas gazing with you. And I was just thinking, if you wanted to, we could do some right now.
Do it. Okay, I would love to try it. I mean, you know, I definitely would. I think the taking out my shirt part would be easy. I don't know about this part of the betrayals, but yeah, sure, I'll try it.
We'll start off. Well, how about this? Let's just say some things that we see about each other and then say thank you. And really appreciate the beauty of that. Just the exterior part. We don't have to get into the hard stuff.
Okay, great. So I same about you and you same about me?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, the first thing I see is you've got a bit of, it looks like you've got maybe, it's like cracker crumbs or something on your lapels. Is that a bit of cracker
thank
crumbs?
You. Yes, thank you. And that is graham crackers, which I love. And that is a nourishing thing from my childhood. I'm glad you noticed it.
Okay.
And it brings warmth to my heart. I'd say something like, Gray, wow, look at this beautiful Romanesque aquiline nose that you have. It's strong and yet perfect in the way God made it.
Oh, that's awesome.
You say thank you.
Okay, thanks. That is awesome. Something that I really have always liked about my nose is like I don't really have a bad side. I've realized over the years I can just turn and pictures look the same on both sides because I'm basically perfectly symmetrical, I've realized, which is crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, God made you beautiful. So we would go on and on and on like that. That's just the warm-up to really have the guys build trust.
But how do you know what you see on the inside? How can you see inside somebody?
Well, let's try that then. I'll go first. I'd say something like this. You know what? I can tell that you're having a lot of fun here at our workshop, and yet I sense a little sadness inside you, and I'd love to hold a savior space for that to be expressed here today.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd say thank you.
Say thank you, Gray.
I don't know.
That's good. That's what we love. We love that resistance because that tells us that we're getting to the guys.
I mean, I'm not friggin' resisting. I'm just kind of saying like, okay, I kind of looked around on the inside and I'm not feeling sad. So yeah.
Yeah. And then I would say, let's go there. You know, let's go there together because I can see this volcano of sadness that's inside you a little bit that wants to just come out through your eyes. And I want to hold you. If you want to hug, let me hug you.
You know, it's just weird though, because I'm like, how do we go somewhere where there's nowhere to go? You know, it just doesn't seem like there's anywhere to go.
Yeah. And I would say something like, hey, let's really look in your heart. Because that's an inside place that's real.
Okay, and I'd say, yeah, looked around a bit, and it's pretty, everything's great. And
right.
Get out of there.
Now, you would be known as one of our hard cases, and what we'd do, if you didn't really want to share, we'd kind of put you in the center of the group, and we'd come in for a group hug, and we'd just whisper a lot and just say things like, you're loved by God. You're loved by God. Over and over again, and 9 times out of 10, somebody's going to break down.
Okay, well, I would probably just be going, yep, I know, yep, I know, yep, I know. So,
Greg, you have to say something you see inside of Randy.
Thank you.
Oh, all right. I guess I didn't get that one, but let's see, Randy, you know, I'm looking at you and I'm kind of going, oh, yeah, you know, this is a guy who doesn't really care much about, like, you know, it doesn't seem like he really likes himself too much, and he just kind of is a guy that, you know, it's just kind of maybe going around doing this thing because he's one of those guys who's kind of a bit sad all the time, and he's like, you know, maybe his dad like walked out on him or something and couldn't really figure out how to relate to him, and you know, maybe his dad was like an alcoholic something like that, and he was just like, all right. And then, you know, his mom was sort of like emotionally detached.
Yeah. And then it would be a much shorter kind of response. But that's really good. Great. I mean, and I would say, thank you. A lot of that's really true. And I'm going to take your words and I'm going to feel my feelings around how angry I am that you saw that in me. And then, but I'm not going to get angry at you. I'm just going to express that anger from the truth that you're telling me through the way God speaks to you about me.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Did you just... say you're going to feel your feelings?
Absolutely. That's the whole point.
How do you do that? What do you do? What is that like?
You know, I feel like it's a gift from God. And this is the thing I'm trying to share with the guys, because feeling the feelings is a thing that I don't think I was really taught. And we're just taught in some ways, hey, let's just experience the glory of God. You know, forget your feelings. They don't mean much. Let's just go put the mission out there.
Yeah, totally.
Spread the good word, you know.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah. But I want us to slow down and find that big, juicy heart that Goliath had and really crack open in that huge rib cage, and let's see that big, beautiful Christian beating heart.
But I just feel like we're kind of taught that our feelings are neither appropriate or interesting to other people. And so it's not appropriate to express them or feel them. We should mostly shut them down, run away, distract ourselves, stay busy, stay positive, focus on the love of God. I just have never actually thought about the idea of feeling them.
Yes. And this is why we do it in the woods, because we just don't really want people to see that. And then when the fellas come out and they come home, I can't tell you how many times the kids, the spouses, they come up to me and they're like, what did you do to Jim?
Really?
Where is my husband? And sometimes they're upset, but over time, I think we really get a sense that they start to feeling their feelings, and they're starting to listen to the word of God in a different way, an open way.
I know. I think this is such an awesome idea, sort of in theory, but it just seems to me like, you know, Hallie, I've never really had... I just think feelings are not real, you know? Feelings aren't really something that's real.
Okay.
So I've never really done many feelings before. I just kind of like, let's say I get hungry, you know, sometimes I get tired, but only after kind of a really rough workout, so every now and again. And then, you know, one of my favorite feelings is positive. You know, I love feeling positive, but, you know, I guess... I'm just not really sure if there's really room for someone like me who's just kind of like, I just don't really have those kind of like Goliath feelings, like you said.
I tell you what, if I could get you to come to the woods with me and the fellas, and I cordially invite you, I think that if we were to wrap you in that beautiful linen tight like a baby was in the old days and put you in that beautiful manger, and then we sang over you, I'm telling you, Gray, you might be a cracker right now, but I would dip you in the milk of God, and you would be that soft graham cracker that we're talking about on my lapel right here. Feel it. Can you feel that? Yeah.
I just don't really get it. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
You know what? I have an idea. Let's do this right here together right now.
Okay.
Now, is it okay? I'm going to ask your permission if I can just hug you and kind of just bend you over a little bit so that it's almost like I'm holding you. And I want you to look at me, and we're going to do our Judas gazing at each other.
Okay.
We're not going to get into any of the betrayals, but we're just going to look at each other, and I'm going to say some things to you. We'll see if any feelings come up. What do you think of this?
Yeah, sure, I guess. Okay. Oh, Hallie, you're doing it too, I guess.
I'm just going to move my chair here so I can make it. We can get both of you on either side, almost like Santa Claus.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Okay, close. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
That's the first time Hallie's ever touched me.
Oh, I know. That's funny. I like your beard. This is a long beard. And you smell like Old Spice. I like
it. Yeah, well, that's my favorite.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
Oh.
Gray, you're a special man and a beautiful boy inside and a child of God. And I'm squeezing you with the arms. Of Goliath. Hallie.
Yeah.
You're a princess of God. Yes, there it is. There it is. Now just be with it. Don't push it down. Let it come up. I've got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart.
I don't like it. I don't know if I like it.
Come on, Gray. Come on, Gray. You are a child of God.
I don't like it.
You can do it.
I don't like it.
That's it. There it is. There's that one tear. I don't know if that's sweat or a tear, but we made headway.
Wow. Randy, that was really powerful.
Wow. I'm so proud of both of you. Thank you for letting me be a part of that, witnessing that.
Thank you. Wow, Randy. Wow. Gray, do you want to take a second? Do you want some tissue?
You seem a little purple around the temples.
I don't like it. I didn't like that you were squeezing me.
Gray, that's a hug. It's not a squeezing. He was hugging me.
No, he was squeezing me, Hallie, and that wasn't a tear. I was like, that was blood. You were
now, freaking squeezing. Here's the great news. That's anger coming up, and I want you to go with it if you feel like it.
I'm not angry. I'm just saying you can't grab me like that with your big jelly arms, and you grab me and you put all your weight on me against this chair, and I
want to say thank you for letting
me. I felt trapped.
And that is the trappedness of your feelings.
Yes.
It's not really me. It's that cage that we put ourselves in as a strong Christian person or man.
Yes. Holy smokes.
And you let it out. You don't have to cry. You can be angry. And you just let the bear out of the cage. I want to say I'm proud of you and God bless you both.
Oh, there's no way that I can go to the gym today. I have to get pop my rib.
Randy, I'm going to have my husband Lance Labonte come on one of these trips with you because I think he could benefit from this. He mostly just grunts and watches ESPN. He's on a full only animal protein diet, Atkins, and he's just such a man's man. You know, a lot of times when I do have feelings around the house, if I do cry or whatnot, he just says, dry it up. You know, dry it up. And he's not wrong. I shouldn't be crying in front of the kids and everything. But I'm going to have him come because I would like to say, Randy, I don't recognize my husband, Lance Labonte.
I'll tell you what. I don't know where it is, but somewhere it says Jesus wept.
You're right.
Now, if Jesus is allowed to, why can't we, darn it?
Wow.
And that's the thing I've been trying to get across there. And sometimes I don't know if it's a mistake. I try to keep my emotions bottled up too, but I just feel like, oh boy, it's time for us to, because you can't choose which feelings you're numbing out sometimes, even if you're super positive. So let's feel all the ones.
Okay.
But how do you go through the unpleasant ones? I mean, what if they come and they stay forever and they overwhelm me?
You know, one of the things we call is Red Rover, let the sinner come over. You know, this old kids game, and we play it with the guys and we have them bust through that wall. And that's a metaphor. It's a breakthrough that they're having, and it's okay. Sometimes we got to punch through that wall to get to our feelings. And when they come, sometimes we drink too much milk. Sometimes we have to mow the lawn too much. We have activities. And I'm asking my guys during the retreat, when the feelings come, we're going to hold that savior space for you and just let them come out. And you can do that at home.
Well, I saw that Steve Jakubiak broke his collarbone. So I guess, you know, it's not just a metaphor, but you've also got a, you know, 48-year-old guy who can't use his arm now.
Yeah. Well, that's just part of the journey. You know, sometimes there's physical pain that comes with that emotional pain.
So then, I mean, he broke his collarbone. Then what happened?
We prayed over him. And,
oh, that's good.
You know, he said he was okay. And I thought, well, we could pack the guys up and head to the hospital now. But we kind of convinced him it was the right thing to just stay with the pain. Because that's a teacher too for him. And it looks like there's going to be some complications with his surgery. But God bless him. He stuck around and we learned a lot from him through his screaming.
Did you say pain is a teacher? What does that mean?
You know when you're feeling really happy and you're just like, hey, I know how I feel. And sometimes we get this sadness or this anger and we're in it. But if we step back away from it, Jesus wept, and we look at it and we say, now what is this? Why am I screaming at my wife right now? If I just stop and ask myself that question, is that something Jesus would do?
And why were you screaming at your wife?
Well, I love a stroganoff, and she had some curdled cream that she put in that, and I bit down on a pretty coagulated piece of cream there, and it just triggered something in me. And, well, I'm ashamed to say it, but anyways, we apologized, and we talked through it, but boy, I just flew. I became that Goliath, but not the good kind. And my wife, I love her, she was the David in that movie, and she used her slang of words, and boy, put me right where I needed to be. Yeah.
Man alive. Well, what made you realize you had this gift?
And would you call it a gift?
How did you get into caring for men and their emotions and calling Christian men to the woods to start to feel their feelings?
I know. And would you call it really a calling, or would you call it more of a, you know, sometimes I'm not, I think we throw that word calling around, you know, do you think it is an actual calling? Do you think God really actually wants you to be doing this? Because it seems a bit, could be a bit, you know, destructive.
And do you really think it's bad to eat granola? Because I thought that was healthy.
Well, it's not good for my heart. So, yeah, I try to stay away from the mixes and all that because there's a lot of hidden sugar there. You know, I just noticed there was a lot of guys that, you know, you see a Christian man and you squeeze his hand and you handshake and there's that fierce look in your eyes, like the burning glory of God. And, you know, as a big man, they come in and they squeeze your hand too hard. And I was just, wow, I wish I could just teach fellas about the other side of me, which is even though I am a giant, I'm gentle. And I bet you there's a gentle place in every man that can actually bring the strength of God through in a different way.
Right. Not that gentle, because you put your whole body weight on me.
I like that you're such a big, you look like a lumberjack, and it's not just because you're wearing plaid and have a long beard, but you just look like a big lumberjack. You look like a character from a novel, and then here you are allowing yourself to have feelings. It feels like it's contradictory to look like you are and then to be how you are.
You know, the guys are really expecting me to put them through like almost like a military pace at camp. And boy, I tell you what, when I pick up a man in my arms and I hold him and I look at him and say, welcome, they don't know what's going on. And that's the first indication that something different's going to happen here than what they expect. And that's what I love about myself and about my God, is that it's something different than I expect.
So for anyone out there who, if this sounds like something that would you could benefit from, look it up. He has a website, Man Alive, or the little preamble is the Son of Man, right?
Son
of Man Alive. And I feel like it's this transformative thing. Now, I wanted to go back to something you said right at the beginning. You mentioned that the women in all these fellas' lives, you said they're beautiful. And I was very struck by that because, you know, women are taught, no, you're not. When someone says you look nice, you say, no, I don't. And you are supposed to focus on your imperfections. Oh, there's a little bit of cellulite right there. And I'm going to wear a tunic length thing. I'm going to put on more layers. I'm going to cover it up. Oh, my neck is getting a little crepey. I'm going to put on a turtleneck. You know, all the things. I got to cover up my face with makeup. I got to cover up my roots with color. I mean, I can't even create colorful protein out of my scalp anymore. I have to go to this gal who mixes up chemicals, put them on my scalp. I gotta make sure and razor and shave off the hair that's not where it's supposed to be. I gotta pluck. I gotta all this stuff. Just the imperfections are endless. And so to hear you say that you think women are beautiful, well, it just doesn't compute, Randy.
Well, I'm so glad that you spoke about that. And the thing I have to say about that, I'm not talking about that exterior. I think that as Christian people, we focus a lot on those things. Hallie, what I'm talking about when I say that the women are beautiful is that bright pink heart, that inside again, that we're not talking about. And I gotta say, I don't know. I hope there's a ladies group out there that's doing the same thing.
Wow, yeah, I'd love that. I'd go.
Are these the sort of things you say to your wife too? Or?
Yeah, do you tell her she's beautiful?
You know, we're working on it. We're working on that part of our relationship. And, you know, I'm away a lot of the weekends. And so she finds that a little bit tough. And you know, that's something I can say it to others. Isn't it funny, though, the people we're closest to, we don't say the things we need to say.
Well, it's very vulnerable. It's
that's
very vulnerable.
I'm working on that, too. I'm a work in progress. That's what she would say when she's talking about me.
You are a work in progress. God is not finished with you yet. It sounds like maybe your wife, one of her love languages is quality time.
You know, that's something I've heard before. And as somebody who's done some Judas gazing, I got to tell you, that's one of my betrayals. And I need to repent for that. And I'm going to in time. But right now, I'm really focused on the fellas and, you know, my attention will turn back to my beautiful wife, interior, and I'll say exterior too, so that we can kind of keep moving forward in that marriage with the love of God in our hearts.
Well, it sounds like men are your calling. God has placed a burden on your heart for men.
Yes, it's true. I love the fellas. I really do. I love the energy. I love the tears. I love the anger. I love the sweat. I love how a man sweats around a campfire when he's been dancing for 3 hours to the joy, joy, joy down in his heart. There's something about that that just brings it home for me.
Well, you must have awesome fires. With that many guys around, you must be able to open every jar, keep every fire ablaze. And that's awesome.
We bring a lot of pallets.
You know, and I guess the only other question I had in terms of the guy thing, I was just curious about what is the bit of knotted rope that you've got there on your belt? It's sort of a lanyard, I guess. Is that part of the whole weekend or something?
The guys get that as gifts, as a signifier that they've been through the workshop, I guess you'd call it. And what it really symbolizes is, you know, Jesus was a sailor, and this is a sailor's knot. And what it is, it's a commitment. It's tying the knot to yourself. It's almost like a self-marriage. We're tying the knot to ourselves, and we're committed to being feeling open-hearted Christian men, and remembering that that open heart will make us stronger.
That is so cool. Jesus was a sailor. He was a fisher of men who walked on water. It's funny, you're kind of like a fisher of men too.
Yeah, also a crusher of men.
Oh, I just wanted to ask, because sometimes I feel like if I was going to interrogate myself, or if I was going to Judas gaze betray myself, I would say, I can be judgy. I can be judgy of my fellow neighbor, and I try not to be. How do you, when you hear these guys admit all these things and say, well, I've been sleeping with the nanny and Barb doesn't know, and I had a child with the nanny, and then I made her abort the baby, or I made her give it away, or whatever, and then you know Barb, and Barb doesn't know, you know, about his other family, or that he killed somebody or whatever. Isn't it so hard to not judge him?
You know, that's why I created that savior space. I want the guys to know that they can tell me anything in the strictest of confidence from my ears to God, you know? And so once we leave the fire, we leave the fire. And that really means we're burning away our sins here. And not that we're clean, 100%. That's God's job, not mine, huh? But we want to know that the guys are going to work through their stuff in time, and I'm not going to say anything. But yeah, a lot of stuff has come up, a lot of really, really hard human things, some real sins. And if we think about Judas, and you both know about him, you know, the thing that we have to love about him is if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have a risen Christ.
Isn't that right?
Wow, that was like a really specific example though, Hallie.
Yeah, that one's real. That's Steve Jakubiak. I'm friends with Barb. Randy Hard was played by Randall Haar. He is on Instagram, honestly doing some of the funniest bits out there right now, so follow him at Ran Haar. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Grey Haas is played by Greg Hess. You can follow me at Holly Laurent and follow Greg at Hey Greg Hess. And of course, Mega is on your favorite form of social media, and that is at Mega the Podcast. Email your mailbag questions to megathepodcast@gmail.com, and for a special spot in heaven, rate and review us on iTunes and support us on Patreon.